You're listening to the Radio Cafe, coming to you from the Santa Fe New Mexican and radiocafe.org, where you can contact us at any time. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte. This program is brought to you by Total Wine and More. With locations in Santa Fe and Albuquerque, each store has about 8,000 different wines from all over the world, and thousands of beers, including both major brands and microbrews and imported beers. And they have more than 3,000 different kinds of spirits, all at the lowest prices you'll find, and with a trained, knowledgeable staff. They're on the web at totalwine.com, and you can order for in-store pickup. And if you use my promo code, you can save even more. Use code 6979 at the store or online and receive $10 off on your next $50 purchase. That's code 6979. Thanks again to Total Wine and More for sponsoring the Radio Cafe. The Radio Cafe is brought to you by the City of Santa Fe Water Conservation. As you know, if you're living here in Santa Fe, we had a warm winter and we didn't get enough snow. The snow brings the water we need, and as a result, New Mexico's drought is currently among the worst in the United States. As the summer heats up, water restrictions in Santa Fe will be coming into effect, and we're being called upon to renew our conservation efforts and learn more about what we can do to value our water. Visit facebook.com/savewatersantafe to take the City of Santa Fe's new drought online quiz and learn not just about the current condition of the drought, but also how to contribute to long-term efforts to maintain a healthy, green, and water-wise Santa Fe. I'm very happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Joshua Haberman. He's artistic director of the Santa Fe Desert Chorale, which is in its season right now through the 9th of August. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you back and great to hear this incredibly beautiful music. I've been attending your rehearsals and that's some of the music that we've just been listening to. You've got three concerts coming up, or that you're doing this year, three very different programs. And I was so interested that one of them is called Journey from the Inca Trail. It's music of the Americas, South America, Mexico in particular. Tell us how you conceived of that whole concept.
Sure. Well, Santa Fe Desert Chorale has a long history of doing Latin American music. It goes all the way back to our founder, Larry Banfield, who was one of the leading people in bringing this music out. A lot of it was in archives in Latin America, and people went down and pulled it out of archives and edited it. And now we are all benefiting from those scores that have been found. So it certainly didn't originate with me. Desert Chorale has been doing this for like quite some time. We had a partnership that sprung up because there's an instrumental group that's led by Miguel Harth Bedoya, who is the music director of the Fort Worth Symphony. And he's Peruvian and has been an advocate for music from his part of the world for a long time. He's got an instrumental ensemble called Caminos del Inca. And so he's there with an instrumental ensemble. Here we are with a vocal ensemble. And we said, hey, what do you say? You guys are specialists in this. We do this quite a lot. Why don't we get together and do a program? So it's a collaboration between these instrumentalists that are coming from Fort Worth and our wonderful desert chorale that comes from all over the nation to do music, as you said, particularly from Latin America in general, but starting in South America with Peru and Bolivia, and all the music from the Baroque period that was written during that time, brought over by the Spanish and the Portuguese, all the way up through Mexico, as you said, and even music that could have been performed here in this region when we were part of the Spanish Empire.
Let's talk about the instruments. I mean, are we talking like panpipes and the little charanga guitar
yes.
and things?
Yes, so there's a charango that's coming, absolutely. So they'll be playing, you know, plucked instruments that are traditional Latin America. But then the music that was written both by the European composers who came over as immigrants and then also the native-born American composers, most of it follows a European model. It has violins, cello, bass, harpsichord, that sort of thing. But then there are special American touches thrown in, like the charango that you mentioned, or extra percussionists who are playing, you know, native type percussion instruments that are unique and native to this new world.
Some of the composers are really literally from the 16th and 17th centuries.
Yes.
What was that music like? What does it have a European feel to it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, the Europeans brought their music over, and so in that sense, it was European music, and then it was taught and taken up by the people who were born here. And as in any immigrant community, we assimilate and we have new ideas that it becomes a hybrid of European and American styles. But as far as the music goes that you'll hear when you come to the concert, it's essentially European music, but then there are American touches to it, and we talked about the percussion and that sort of thing, or the plucked instruments, or a particular, every once in a while, a particular folk quality that people from Santa Fe will recognize as a Latin American type of a sound.
There's also a really different, I mean, I've spent some time in Peru and listened to a lot of Andean music, and also as a DJ have played a lot of it, and it is a different singing style. I assume you're not really so much adopting that because the desert chorale has its own kind of sound.
Yeah, that's true in the sense, and particularly because they're writing, they're not writing folk music for this. The music that we're doing for this concert is not particularly folk music, although there are a couple of pieces. One is called Tonada del Diamante, and this was from a collection of music that was sung by people just on the street. And a person went around and transcribed it, you know, of just popular tunes. And so that one will have more of a folksy quality to it. But a lot of it is high art music, and it was conceived that way by the American composers who wrote it. So we'll sing it in a more traditional classical style for the most part.
It's sort of double-edged for me because there's such incredible beauty that came from this period, but it was also a period of bloody, violent conquest.
Yes, absolutely. And those things are, you know, not mutually exclusive. Political upheaval and social upheaval and artistic creation sometimes go hand in hand, and so certainly that's the case. And the native populations, there's no question, suffered tremendously at the hands of the European invaders. And we also have this wonderful music that came out of that mixing.
What are the challenges and sort of the artistic challenges for you of bringing this music to the choir and performing it, you know, in the best possible way?
Well, just getting scores is tricky. I mentioned that a lot of them are in archives and, you know, churches in Mexico City and Lima and wherever they are. And so it's not like you can go to your favorite music website and just type in these titles and say, send me the scores, you know, as we so often do, and they arrive, you know, 10 days later and you're off to the races. It's involved a lot of editing, a lot of finding scores, discovering that there are problems with the scores and how are we going to do them or adapt them to our particular circumstance. So there's a lot that you have to do just to get to the first rehearsal with materials that are usable. But once you get there, then there's the additional question of collaboration between instrumentalists and vocalists, which is always an exciting thing when we put our two groups together. You know, they're coming from Fort Worth. We're here in Santa Fe, but we've come from all over. So our time for preparation is relatively short. But these players and singers are, of course, among the best in the country. Everybody here in our community knows the Desert Chorale, no doubt, and the fact that these are professionals from all over the U.S. makes it a really smooth process.
Another program that you have is called Sure on This Shining Night, Choral Works That Evoke the Beauty of the Natural World. First of all, where does this title come from, Sure on This Shining Night?
So it's the title of one of the pieces on the program. And audiences might be familiar with it. It's one of the most popular choral pieces that have been written in the last 10, 15 years. It's a poem of James Agee, and the poetry is just absolutely stunningly beautiful. And it's been set by more than one composer. So Samuel Barber set this poem, and we performed his version of it back in February when we were here in Santa Fe doing a performance. This time it'll be Morten Lauridsen's version of that poem, and it's just extraordinarily beautiful. It evokes starry skies and wandering out far alone. And of course, what could be better for northern New Mexico than an image like that?
Let's hear just a little bit of that, which I recorded a few minutes ago in the rehearsal at the church where the Desert Chorale is doing its season.
Thank you.
And that was Sure on This Shining Night by Morten Lordsen. And, one of the things that I was thinking about with this title, Choral Works That Evoke the Beauty of the Natural World, for me, no matter how beautiful art is, especially visual art, it's like a mere reflection of a sort of a pale reflection of the awesome beauty of the natural world. But with music, I mean, you can listen to the birds singing all day, but then when you listen to music, it brings you to another place that's maybe even more sublime.
Absolutely. And the best thing of all is these things are not mutually exclusive. So we can appreciate the visual beauty and then also the oral beauty of the singers. And I should mention the previous program that we were chatting about, Music from the Inca Trail. We will actually have a visual component to that. So we have a visual presentation in which videos and slides of life, nature, and architecture of Latin America will be projected. So you're right on target in terms of, the concept of that we're visual creatures. We have images, and so having something that could be projected for us to take in that Inca program while listening to the music from that period and from that area is really great. There won't be a visual component particularly to this Sure in the Shining Night, but so much of the poetry evokes that I think our audiences will have no difficulty, getting into a visual headspace listening to some of these works.
Tell us more about how music evokes, and the particular pieces that you've chosen for this program evoke the beauty of the natural world.
Sure. Well, it opens with a madrigal of Monteverdi. So this goes back all the way to the early 17th century. And it's called Ecco mormorar l'onde, so listen to how the waves murmur. And it's one of those traditional, look at this, look at that, look at the beauty that surrounds us, a reminder that we could all use, as we get caught up in our daily lives to look up once in a while, especially here in Santa Fe.
I love the word murmur. It's
Yes,
so onomatopoetic.
absolutely. So there's the Monteverdi. We sing a Pizzetti piece that's actually on Poetry of Sappho. So this is pre-Christian, way back when Greek poets talking about the garden of Aphrodite and who might be there and the goddess herself. And it's just an incredible, evocative piece of poetry. And the music that's written is so lush and sumptuous. It's a perfect evocation of that. There's a piece called The Bluebird by Charles Stanford that captures the moment in which a bird and its reflection. The bird flies over a very, very still lake, and the viewer or the poet captures the reflection of the bird as he stares into that clear, deep lake, and the music is incredibly still and beautiful. So everything about it is meant to evoke an oral image, but also a visual image as well.
Now, the third program is called Bernstein, Bulcombe, and Barber, 20th Century American Masters. Did you choose this program partly because the Santa Fe Opera was doing Candide, which is the Leonard Bernstein sort of musical theater slash opera?
Well, we're all celebrating his centenary.
Right.
So that's really the motivation. He was born in 1918, so here we are in 2018, and he's one of our American greats, conductor, composer, incredible advocate for music, music education, music for the young. So much of our American music culture is built on Bernstein's legacy that he left. So that's where we began. And then we thought, well, who could we pair with this, and how can we offer some variety? And we thought Samuel Barber, the great American composer who has something very in much in common with Bernstein in that they were great writers for the voice. Bernstein in a more popular way, particularly with his stage works, the lighter works, and then Barber in a classical style. So we're doing Barber's Reincarnations, which are the great a cappella choruses from the mid-century, and then Bernstein's stage works, as well as Bernstein's Missa Brevis, which is rarely done for chorus and percussion. And then we add to that a piece by William Bolcom, who's not quite of the same generation, a little bit younger, and still living, but also writing in a sort of typically mid-century, late 20th century American style.
There was a golden age of musicals. First of all, are you going to be doing things from musical comedies that people will recognize?
Yeah, well, from West Side Story for
Okay.
Leonard Bernstein. So, of course, you can't do it without doing some of his greatest hits, and that was certainly for me. I grew up, with that Broadway cast album just on repeat, and I think that's the case for a lot of people from that generation.
Yeah.
So we're doing a full medley of tunes from West Side Story, and the program has opened already, and the response has been very positive to that. People are just loving it because it's music that, although it's old now, this isn't new music, it feels incredibly fresh. It feels like there's nothing about it that's dated. It speaks to us now. It's a timeless story, and it's great music.
I suppose with West Side Story, you shouldn't say musical comedy, it's sort of musical tragedy.
Yeah, well, it's the Romeo and Juliet story, essentially, right? So, yeah, it all ends badly. But as with many tragedies, it's incredibly beautiful.
There was what is called the Golden Age of musicals, which is like the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and sort of slightly beyond with Leonard Bernstein into the 70s. But what do you think made that the Golden Age?
Well, I think, great words and great music. And when you put those things together, you've got the greatest thing that you could ever hope for. And for us in choral music in particular, as opposed to, say, orchestral music, what we have are words. We have texts, and so we can connect to music not only through the sounds and the oral experience of it, but also through the literary aspect. And the words of, from West Side Story, they're fantastic words. They tell a story that is timeless and that is common to us all. Broken relationships, families that can't get together, cultures that can't get along. Those are dramas that we live out daily. So for us, it's just so topical. And those great musicals, all the great pieces of art, do that. They make a piece of art, they make a story that is relatable and also ennobling in the sense that it's not just an everyday experience, but it creates it's a heightened emotional experience, and West Side Story is certainly that.
Do you think that golden age ended sort of when the 60s and the counterculture and all that stuff happened?
I will not position myself as an expert on the American musical, for sure. So I'm sure there are many people who know much more about it than I do. But certainly there was a turning socially and a loss of innocence, if you will, in terms of, some of the musicals that predate that social change were simply kind of straightforward, charming stories. Oklahoma, comes to mind, that sort of thing. And I think, after you've had the awakening and the changes of that time period, maybe it's harder to hear quote unquote innocent music in the same way. It's possible, but I wouldn't say that. I think you should have somebody on who knows more about it than I do.
Well, someday that conversation might happen.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, let's talk about the Desert Chorale itself. As you said, you've got people from all over the country. How does this chorus work?
Well, we're in our 37th season now, so it's an extraordinary history. Started in 1982. And throughout this history of the chorale, we have brought the finest choral musicians from all over the country. So it's kind of like an all-star team that assembles here in the summer. And we who live in Santa Fe and, we're just used to having it, we think, oh yeah, the Desert Chorale, they're just our local chorale. But truly, these are extraordinary artists who live everywhere all over the country. And then they come together for what is the largest and most significant choral event, that's specifically a choral event, in the United States. It's this 3 and 4 week season in which we're doing 10, 12, 15 performances, depending on the year, of a really varied swath of choral music. Everything from early music, as you said, from the Baroque and the Renaissance, all the way through music that's being written today.
You often do your concerts in churches, even though it's not necessarily religious music. Sometimes there's religious music and there's a wonderful Christmas program. What is it about churches?
Well, it's the particular acoustical environment. So much of our music comes from sacred traditions. So we're not affiliated in any way with a religious institution, but because we do a lot of sacred music, we do a lot of sacred music because it's our greatest music that we have. So much of it was written, under the auspices of the church. But we are very specific about saying that the repertoire of choral music is incredibly broad. So much of it is sacred. Sometimes we perform it in a sacred space for the acoustical properties of that space. But for us, we have a very broad view of what it could include, the diverse populations that we hope will come and listen to it, those that come from specific faiths or not. For us, it's about the artistic experience of the music. That's really what leads us to try and pick the best choral music that we have.
Now, some of the concerts are at the cathedral in downtown Santa Fe. Others are at the Church of the Holy Faith, which is on the corner of Palace Avenue and Paseo near La Posada. And the Journey from the Inca Trail concerts will be held at the Cristo Rey Church. So, three different
Three
churches.
different venues, And that's intentional. We try and get around town as much as possible, and then we try and pick venues that are appropriate to this kind of music that we're doing. So although Cristo Rey is not a colonial church, it's more recent than that. For all the world, it looks like one, because if you go in, the way they've got it decorated and the way they built it, it looks so much like some of the old churches that you'll find in Latin America. We thought, why not do it there? And so that was very natural. And then, of course, the Cathedral Basilica is such a beautiful sound. And then Church of the Holy Faith is great for the Brissine program. So for us, we try and get around as much as possible.
You are having for one of the programs for the Bernstein programs, you're having a guest conductor.
Yes, Craig Jessup is here, and Craig is a wonderful conductor. He's the former conductor of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and before that, he led the Singing Sergeants, which is the chorus of the Air Force. So he has been steeped in American music for as long as he's been working in the choral field, which is many, many decades. So when we looked at this American program and we thought, who would be wonderful to lead this? We thought immediately of Craig Jessup, and he's been a hit with our audiences and with our singers as well.
And you conduct the rest of it, and I had the privilege of looking in on a rehearsal a little while ago, which is where the music that we heard, that our listeners heard, came from. And it's so interesting to see how you are working with your singers. There's so much subtlety. Like the outsider might listen to a rehearsal and think, as I did, that's like the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. And then you make these subtle corrections that just make it that much better or more meaningful or richer. That's like an art and a craft honed over many years.
Well, and it's the greatest job you could ever hope for if you think about it, being the conductor of the Santa Fe Desert Chorale, because these singers are phenomenal. So where they come in as a bass line is beyond what most any chorus would get to after months of rehearsal. That's where they start. So my role is simply to shape and to guide and to support them, because they're such beautiful artists and they have so much to give. So for us, you know, we have a when patrons come and listen to rehearsals as you did today, they have the same response, which is, wow, I thought it was just so beautiful the first time. What could you possibly do to improve upon it? And then I'll offer a few suggestions, and we might even take suggestions from them, and it's a collaborative process, and then we make it as beautiful as we can. But there's no question that it all rests on the artistry of these singers that we should be incredibly proud of. They represent Santa Fe. The Desert Chorale is touring now, and our home is in Santa Fe. It always will be. But we are being picked up by a broader national audience. So we've done a recording in Dallas-Fort Worth recently that's come out called The Road Home, a wonderful recording of American music. And then we were invited to take that on tour and perform it in Chicago, in Los Angeles, as well as in Dallas and a couple other cities. So for us, you know, we're just so excited to get what's happening here in Santa Fe, not only to our most beloved home audiences, but also to a more national audience.
There are different kinds of conductors, there's different kinds of directors, different kinds of ballet masters. I remember from my early childhood those mean Russian ballet teachers who you were so scared of that your teeth practically chattered during class. And then there's really a kind of benevolent, sort of authoritative and yet equal with your chorus. And it seems like that's what you are. It seems so very respectful and kind of loving, even though you are, you know, you're telling them what to do.
Well, I hope that's the case. It's certainly what I'm intending, and that's the goal, because for us, you know, choral music is the greatest team sport that ever was, in my view. I'm a sports guy. I love sports, and so I always make these athletics, you know, metaphors. But to me, I'm a member of the team. Now, I'm the guiding force, and yes, that's true. It's my responsibility. But if we can engage the artists in such a way that they feel free rather than controlled or supported, that's a different thing, to be the best that they can be, because as I mentioned, they bring so much talent and skill and just joy to what they do. My goal is to channel that, to support it, to make sure that it's technically excellent, but also to get out of their way when it's appropriate to do so.
It seems like a fairly young ensemble.
It's quite a varied age group, actually. Everything from young people in their probably mid-20s. I don't know their ages, to be honest with you, every single one. But we have people who have been singing with us for a relatively short time, and then we have members who have over 20 years experience with us. So it's quite a wide range. But we've been rather stable the last several years people who have been to Desert Chorale shows before will recognize almost all the faces. This summer, there are only two new singers of 24.
Now, what's your own experience as a vocalist?
I sang in groups kind of like the Desert Chorale, and I haven't done that in a couple of years because conducting has sort of taken over whatever time that's left over after family and other stuff. But I came up as a singer. I'm a hack of a pianist. I can play, but I don't play as beautifully as any of the people that, you know, I'm privileged to play with and to collaborate with. So really my role is as a conductor now, and I love it. But because I have a background in singing, it's easier for me to relate to what the singers are doing.
In the Inca section, there is, as you say, this Inca, basically Andean orchestra. What about the other programs? Is it always a piano accompaniment?
Yeah, a piano accompaniment, and we do a lot of a cappella music, so unaccompanied music. That's sort of the calling card of the Desert Chorale, because we have these extraordinary voices. Why not just show them off, you know, by themselves? But we also have wanted to do some pieces that involved accompaniment. And so on the Sure and the Shiny Night program and on the Bernstein, Balcom, and Barber program, wonderful local pianist from Los Alamos, Nate Salazar, is with us. And he's a beautiful, beautiful pianist. And he's our collaborative artist there, and I know that our audiences will enjoy his playing.
There are pre-concert lectures, too.
Yeah. For those that are interested in just sort of deepening their knowledge about the music that's being performed, you're invited to come attend a lecture before the programs, and it gives you some insight into the music that's being performed, the background of it. It's certainly not required to enjoy the program. You could walk in and just sit down and have a great time. But if you're interested in getting a little bit more of a behind-the-scenes look, those are very popular lectures, and we've got one before every concert.
Now, you're here in the summer, you're here during the winter. What do you and what do the artists in the Desert Chorale do for the rest of the year?
Yeah, we call it our civilian lives. You know, we talk about sort of, you know, when we're not here in this magical place doing this magical thing. The rest of the year, I live in Dallas, Texas, and I'm the director of the symphony chorus there. So that's an entirely different kind of ensemble, an entirely different kind of experience, which is wonderfully complementary to the Desert Chorale, because, of course, it's Texas, everything is big. So that's a group of 210
what?
Singers, and they're volunteers, so they're amateurs, people who just love to sing, and we perform all the big major masterworks with the Dallas Symphony. And then I get to come up here and have this, as Craig Jessup said the other night in one of our programs, he said, the choral Ferrari, you know, the just the most responsive, beautiful car you could ever want to drive. And that's, you know, we're a small chamber choir of 24, and sometimes we perform as 16 or 12 or even 8. So they're very different experiences and complementary, and I love them both.
Do you literally have 210 people singing at the same time?
Yes.
That must be an incredible sound.
It's a wall of sound. It's like a tidal wave. It's fun.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You'll have to play some of that on the Radio Cafe someday.
Let's do that.
Joshua Haberman is Artistic Director of the Santa Fe Desert Chorale. For more information, you can go to desertchorale.org. The summer season runs through the 9th of August. Thank you so much for being with us.
It was a great pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Radio Cafe. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte. This program is brought to you in part by Dotfoil Computer Services, providing computer repair and business services for Apple and PC. They're Santa Fe's only Apple-authorized service provider. You can find them on the web at dotfoil.com and in the Candyman Center in Santa Fe. This program is produced in collaboration with the Santa Fe New Mexican, an independent newspaper since 1849. The New Mexican is on the web at santafenewmexican.com, where you can find out about our community and you can subscribe to the digital and paper editions. You can also find previous episodes of the Radio Cafe on the web at radiocafe.org. And if you want to send any feedback on the show, ideas, or comments, please write an email to feedback@radiocafe.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.